October 2017 is 500 years after October 1517. And so we've been talking about it a little while now, and that is the 500th anniversary of what we call the start of the Reformation. Something happened 500 years ago that sparked something very big, and it's still going on today. And so this October, we're marking that with many things. So 500 years ago, and what we're marking is 500 years ago, at the end of October, Martin Luther posted the 95 Theses on the Wittenberg Castle Church door against the sale of indulgences. You'll find out more about that, if you don't know about that, throughout the rest of the month. All that to say, the church went through a time, hundreds of years, in the middle to late Middle Ages, where it got away from what was the heart, soul, core, and center of the Christian faith, and that is Jesus Christ crucified and risen for you. And when the church ever gets away from that, that's who we are. That is what life and salvation and eternal life is. It's about Jesus and what he has done for you. And so something needed to happen, and God used Martin Luther. Others had tried to before, but for whatever reason, at the right time in history, in the right way, in the right place, God used Martin Luther to bring, in some ways, the many ways, the church back to the simple gospel message that it is today as it is then. It's still always about Jesus. That is what our faith is based on. That is how you can know as you walk away today and wake up tomorrow that you can sit and your soul can settle and rest in God, because you don't come to God based on anything you have done, but it's because of everything that Jesus has done. So the message that was returned to, or began to return to, 500 years ago is the same message that we preach each and every Sunday, that it's Jesus crucified and risen for you. That's what our heart and soul and life can take comfort in. So we're going to talk about that throughout October, and we're going to do that with clips from a movie made on about Luther about 2002, 2003 or so. And so a little later, you'll see a 4 or 5 minute clip that gets into what we're talking about today. So a few different themes throughout the month of October. But first of all, it's always a little weird to talk about a person who's like not Jesus and say, hey, he's going to kind of help us guide us for this month. So some people might say, well, why would you talk about Martin Luther for a whole month? Because he would be the first to tell you that he's no saint. That's absolutely true. But God uses ordinary people to do his work, and that's what we're talking about today. Martin Luther was used at a critical time, used by God to renew the Christian church by restoring it back to the gospel, by pointing it back to Jesus. So what are we going to end up talking about this month? We're going to talk about Jesus. And what are we going to talk about next month and the next month? We're going to talk about Jesus. Jesus is our perfect Savior. Luther's not, but by looking at his life, he'll give us another lens through which to see Jesus more clearly and to give thanks to God for how God used other people to point us to Jesus. And today, we're going to be talking about the question of how do I serve God? So you're going to see in the next 5 weeks parts of the Luther movie and talk about issues of faith that were addressed 500 years ago, but I think they were so important then that they're still important today. So one of those questions that was addressed 500 years ago but still has value today is, how do I serve God? It's a question of vocation. What am I called to? How do I serve God? It was a major question for Luther, and it was a question for the Reformation, and their answer was a gift to the church. How do I serve? What do I have to be doing in my life to know that I'm serving God? Do I have to change my schedule, get a different job, do something different? How do I serve God, and how do I know that I am serving God? So that's the question we're going to look at. Before we watch the clip, I'll give you a paragraph on Martin Luther's life up to this point so you'll know what you're looking at. Martin was born in 1483 in Eisleben, Germany, to his parents, Margaret and Hans Luther, but he was raised in Mansfield, and his father worked in the copper mines nearby. He had sent Martin to Latin school so that he could become a lawyer. You see, there was no Social Security or 401ks back in the day, and so if you wanted to secure your future and retirement, it was largely attached to your children. and particularly your oldest son. So how about have your son be a lawyer? And that would also help in the copper industry, having to solve disputes. It just kind of solved a lot of problems. So son's going to become a lawyer. So they saved and lived meagerly so that they could send their son to study law. And also parents always want to give their children a better life. So they tried to do that. He had earned baccalaureate and master's degrees in record time. Very smart, very bright. But then in 1505, at age 21, he had a dramatic turn in life. As he was going through, walking on the road back to Erfurt, it was in a severe thunderstorm, and a bolt of lightning struck the ground near him. And he cries out in prayer. He later says, "Well, I prayed to Saint Anne, if you save me, I'll become a monk." And he took it, this is his vow that he made to God: "If you save me, I'll serve you." So that gets at the question, how do I serve God? How did he serve God? And especially when his life took a monumental shift, what his promise, "God, if you save me, I'll serve you." So that's what we're going to see a little bit of, how he ended up serving. There is one word in the clip that I did not techie enough to bleep out, so I apologize. I'll try to have a very well-timed cough when that word comes. Can you hit the lights, Pete? The ones there and...
Deus, qui humane substantiae dignitatum mirabiliter condedisti et mirabilius reformasti. Da nobis perhujus aquae et vini mysterium Eius divinitatis esse consortes.
He's leaving. Father! Please stay for supper. Father!
Your first mass, you crap yourself.
I hope we could talk.
Disgrace to send you to the law, to elevate you to a noble profession. I sweat in the mines for 20 years to give you the chance I never had. Is that how you interpret the commandment? To honor your father and mother?
God brought me here.
God? A shaft of lightning burns your eyes. You call that God? The devil, more like.
You can turn the lights back on. So Martin had this life-changing moment and wanted to serve God. And you see that transition from, lightning storm, making an oath to God, and then going into the monastery. But he only knew of one way to serve God, and that's what we're talking about today, is how do we serve God? But we have to know how he thought of that. So the question for us is, how do you serve God? How do you think of serving God? Well, what was going on in his day is there was, I'd call it a two-tiered spirituality, which meant there was only one way in his mind he could thought of how I could serve God. So two tiers meant there were regular people. So that would be miners, farmers, merchant, cobblers, bankers, people that work everyday life, regular, normal jobs, and then there were the religious people who prayed all the time. So if you worked a normal, regular job, you couldn't possibly, spend all day praying in a monastery because you're working your normal, regular job, raising family, all that kind of stuff. But the people, other people could. So priestly class, monastery people, so you ended up having two tiers of spirituality, the regular people and then the religious people. And so if you wanted to serve God, there was really only one way to think about doing that, is you left the regular life and became part of the religious class so that you could do that. You could pray every day and you could all day and do all those things. So there's this two-tiered spirituality of the, you could say, regular people and religious people. And it's the only logical choice would be, I must become a monk. So God, I'll serve you. If you save me from this storm, I'll serve you. Now, later he realized that that wasn't the case, but that's what happened. There's regular, there's religious. If you're going to serve God, leave the regular life, become the religious life. Now, we say that, well, okay, we don't think that way anymore, but I think we do. I think we often still segment our lives between regular life stuff and God stuff, or regular life stuff and spiritual stuff, and we still kind of compartmentalize them as if they're different. So we say, well, I'm doing church stuff, I must be serving God, or I'm praying now, I must be serving God, but when I'm, doing the dishes, I'm just doing the dishes and getting them done, and I hate them, and maybe I'll throw them all away and use paper plates. Yes, those are the conversations we have in our house. But we still kind of segment and compartmentalize what's spiritual and what's not, or what involves our faith life and what doesn't, and I don't think that's the case. Because we start to wonder then if we're actually serving God. Say, well, I haven't been to church much, must not be serving God. Or my life doesn't seem to be filled with holy things. Between taking kids to school or grocery shopping, paying bills, cutting the grass, taking out trash, making dinner, doing laundry, folding laundry, putting it away, cleaning the bathroom, or studying, homework, exams, all those things that can seem regular and mundane, you can say, well, that's what my life consists of. Maybe I'm not doing anything of significance. Maybe I'm not actually serving God. Does your mind ever walk that path? Colossians 3:17 has the answer. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as for the Lord. I love that verse. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as for the Lord. In whatever you do, you can serve God. You can. John 1:18 talks about it this way, about Jesus. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, lived among us. God inhabits your world. God comes to join us in our humanity and inhabits your life. When the Word became flesh, God made regular life holy. You have a Savior who saved humanity not from without, but from within. He came from heaven to earth to live in your shoes, to experience your pain, and to die in your place for you. That's how near God comes. And when the Word, Jesus, becomes flesh and dwells among us, God dies for ordinary people like you and me, and God makes ordinary life holy. So the greatest command in the Scriptures, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, we are told how it is that we serve God. By serving your neighbor, whoever that may be, and whatever that may look, they may look like, and whatever language they speak or culture they come from, by loving and serving your neighbor in everyday life, you serve God. You do. God makes ordinary life holy. So that's the vocational question or vocational answer. You serve God when you serve another person. God is at work through you. You serve God by raking your neighbor's leaves. You serve God by taking care of your children, or some of you take care of your parents. You serve God by going to work every day and faithfully doing your job, even if it seems mundane or even if you don't like it. By doing that, you get to take care of your family, and so you're serving God. You serve God by being an honorable boss or by being a good worker. You serve God by being a real estate agent or a teacher or an engineer or a garbage truck driver. Because if people didn't take my garbage away every week, my house and life would not be as good. You don't have to imagine yourself serving God by abandoning your everyday life and going to some far-flung place and by doing weird things. Now, God might call some of you to do that, but for most of us, we need to know that ordinary life is where God exists and God does. God makes holy every ordinary day and every ordinary task. Feeding your children is serving God. When you do the dishes for your family, you serve God. When you serve on city council or on the school board, you make our community better and you serve God. So to answer the question, how do you serve God? How do you serve God? I think the answer is this. By doing whatever God asks of you today.